Well, greetings to you once again. I greet you in Jesus' name, the name that's above all names. And at the name of Jesus, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow. Every knee is going to bow someday. Not here on earth, but the time is coming when he will be exalted above the heavens, and every knee will bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I just want to really encourage us as believers, we need to do that now. There's going to be people that do that in tremendous fear and in horror. We have the privilege of doing these things now to confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord with our tongues, and that we can bow the knee to the most holy, high God and his son Jesus Christ. It is a blessing, and I thank the Lord that he's given us his word to show us these things and to lead us into the paths of righteousness and the way of truth. I'd like to go now to an Old Testament scripture, and I don't know how familiar you'd be with this. I'm sure you've heard of it or read of it, or depending on how much you read through the Bible. But certainly you've heard of it. This is a story of King Solomon, who would be David's son. And you can read the things prior to Solomon becoming king. And there were some problems that were taking place with David's sons, because everybody knew that one of the sons of David would be king when David was gone. And so there was some conflict there, but that's not where we're going today. Again, it's good to go back and read this and get a real good idea of all the things that are happening in Israel and what is going on. And God here is putting Solomon, David's son, on the throne of Israel. And he had one of the most incredible reigns in Israel. God gave him much wisdom. And again, I encourage you to read that story. You can see all the reasons why those things happened, and even the shortcomings that Solomon ran into and why. It's an interesting story. But we're going to go to 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to be reading from the 7th chapter. And I want to just give you a little brief history here, or just a short entry here before we go into this passage here. Solomon had built the temple, a magnificent temple, just an incredible amount of work and cunning work, beautiful. This temple outdid any temples that there were before. It was a magnificent place, and he poured out a lot of his effort and time into building this temple. After the temple was built, Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord, and he made sacrifice, and he called an assembly of all the people together, and they rejoiced together at the dedication and the opening up of the temple in Jerusalem. And so here we're going to pick up that right after the sacrifices that were offered, this was very pleasing to God, and God came and spoke to Solomon. And I want to just pick up right in there, because this is where we're going to be talking about something that God said again, and he was very able and very willing to do. And we'll just read that here, and I'm going to begin in verse 12. And it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." And then verse 13, he's going to give some very, very pertinent information here to not only to Solomon, but to all of his people and to basically the whole world, because this would affect everybody in the whole world. Verse 13, "If I shut up heaven," this is God speaking, if he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain? Or if I command the locusts to devour the land? Or if I send pestilence among my people? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. God was making an incredible statement here. He's telling his people, he's telling Solomon, who's going to be relating this to his people, that, okay, you've built a temple here, and I'm going to sanctify it and make it holy, and it's going to be separate and different than all the rest of the kingdoms of the world. But I need you to cooperate here and to keep it holy and be a holy people, separated. And I know that probably most, or if not all of you that are calling in and listening to this message, you know something about being separated from the world. That's a big part of your culture, and it's a big part of my culture as well. And we are called to be separate from this world, not to be the same, but to be different. We're called out of the things of this world. And everybody has a little different idea of what that looks like, but the important thing is we are called out. We're called out of this world. We're supposed to be as the world is. And God is telling his people here, same thing. You are going to be different people. You're going to be called out of all the kingdoms of this land, and there's going to be some great differences between you and the rest of the world. And the biggest difference, the hugest difference, is that the Jews are going to usher in the Messiah, the Savior. And because of that, the Gentiles, the rest of the world, would have hope of salvation, where before they had no hope. Okay, so God is telling his people, I'm setting you apart. I'm making a difference. But here's your cooperation. He says, if I close the heavens up so that there's no rain, and you know, in the desert, if there's no rain, even where we all live, if the rain stopped for an extended amount of time, we would all be in desperate trouble. We would be in dire need. We're dependent on the rain. They knew it. And he said, if I shut the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, if they came in and wiped out the food, the people understood this. If the locusts came in and stripped the land of its produce and its harvest, again, it would be desolation. And then he says, or if I send pestilence among my people, if there are diseases and sicknesses that overwhelm you, come in and just take over. And again, people had seen plagues before. They'd seen these things. But God is saying, if you see these things coming upon my people, now this happens in the world all the time. But he said, if my people, if you see this happening to you, then he says in verse 14, if my people, listen, God's calling them my people. They're separated. They're different. That's the biggest separation that can ever happen with a man from this world, is God calls you my people, my son, my children. That's the separation that is unbelievable, different from the world. And he says, if my people, my children, which are called by my name, there's an identification here. These are people that are serving Jehovah, the great I Am. He called himself I Am, because he's ever existing and always was and always will be. If the people that are his the people that are called by his name will humble themselves. If you humble yourself, recognize and realize that we are in trouble, we need God desperately, and there's nothing of ourselves that we can save ourselves. If we humble ourselves and pray, if we pray, and seek my face, God says. There's some things here that he's expecting his people to do. If they humble themselves and pray and seek his face, and if they turn from their wicked ways. We have to assume here that if God does the things that he's talking about prior to this, closing up the heavens where there's no rain, or if he sends the locusts in to devour the land, or if there's pestilence that comes among his people, we have to assume here, based on this next passage, that they're walking in error. They're in sin. The people are in wicked ways, and he's telling them, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. And here's the promise. Then will I hear from heaven. What an incredible thing. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I know we live in a land that's very prosperous and we have so many things. We hardly have to worry about any of those things, it seems like. But it could happen to us. And God has made provision here. If we are called by his name, we're included here, I believe. I believe that we're included here. And there's some scripture that would actually give us credence to that. We would know that we are actually adopted in and grafted into the vine of the lineage of Abraham. That doesn't mean his blood's flowing through our veins, but we are adopted in. We're accepted in the Beloved if we're in Christ. And if there is sin reigning in God's people in the church, he's not going to bless it. He can't. There will be things come for the chastisement, for the spanking, not to destroy, but to give opportunity to repent. And so here it is, a call, a cry from God to turn from our wicked ways. And I just would encourage you, let God examine your heart, because you don't always recognize your wicked ways. Sometimes we feel like we're doing pretty good because we compare ourselves to others. But when we compare ourselves to God and his son Jesus Christ, we come up way short and we're wanting. And so if we let God examine our hearts, and that's what happens when you humble yourself and when you pray, when you seek his face, he starts to show you, oh yeah, here's those things that I'm not real happy with. I want that out of your life. I want that sin to be dealt with. And he's going to heal the land. He's going to forgive the sin. And so my encouragement to all of us is, let's humble ourselves and pray and seek his face before these things happen to us in this land. And to let God do that work of separating us and healing our land and forgiving our sin. What a wonderful place to be when our sins are forgiven. Praise God for that. May you meditate on this, and may God bless you as you think upon his wonderful forgiveness.